A ver si así naces.
So this week's parsha is Parshas Kisavo, which has, of course, the mitzvah of Bikurim, the first fruit being brought to the Beis HaMikdash and there gifted to the Kohen. It has the section of Vidui Masros, the declaration in year 4 and year 7 of the Shemitah cycle on the part of the farmer, that he did all that he was supposed to do. And it has the verses of terrible rebuke, Moshe Rabbeinu's curses, that he tells the Jewish people we will receive if we don't observe the Torah and the mitzvos, and especially the primary sort of overarching sin is Tachas Asher Lo Avaretzas Hashem Elokecha, because you didn't serve God your Lord, B'simcha V'tuv Leva, Merov Kol, with joy and with a good heart, and you had so much. And as a result, there will be terrible misfortunes. Rav Wolfson, in the year Tavshin Nun Hei, had some very, very beautiful words about this parsha. He said, number one, we always read this parsha close to Rosh Hashanah. So what is the connection between Kisavo and Rosh Hashanah? So one way, a simple way to see a bond, is that Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, is the beginning of time. And that's connected to the Beis HaMikdash, because Beis HaMikdash was the beginning of place. The Beis HaMikdash was the place around the Evan Shesia, the stone of foundation. Evan Shesia, Shesias in the term Shemisham Hushtata Olam, from there the world was founded. So the Beis HaMikdash is the beginning of place, and Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of time. So right when we are getting close to Rosh Hashanah, we have to realize we have to go back to the beginning, and we need to start again from the beginning. In fact, Rosh Hashanah in Gematria is the same as the words Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Hashanah is 501 plus 360, so that's 861. And Beis HaMikdash is 412 plus 449. So 449 and 412 is also 861. Rosh Hashanah is Beis HaMikdash. What Rosh Hashanah is in time, the beginning of time, is what the Beis HaMikdash is in place, the beginning of place. So in the days of Elul, we're trying to get up to the Beis HaMikdash. We're climbing the mountain, about to get to the beginning of time, about to get to that level of the beginning of place. So that's why we have to read Parshas Kisavo, because Parshas Kisavo begins with Bikurim, the first fruits. The first fruits recognize the beginning. Take the beginning to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, the beginning of place, and give it to the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, it really probably would actually happen around this time of the year, because the Sfasemis points this out. You would start with Bikurim, with Shavuos, and you would basically end Bikurim with Sukkos. So most of the Bikurim, most of the first fruits are probably being brought now in the month of Elul. This is the time of the year of Parshas Kisavo, of bringing the first fruits, of connecting to the beginnings. Rav Wolfson has an amazing insight in these Parshios. We have Kisavo, then we have Nitzavim, then we have Vayelech, and then we have Ha'azinu. There are 40 psukim in Nitzavim, there are 30 psukim in Vayelech, and there are 52 psukim in Parshas Ha'azinu. So he suggested that maybe Parshas Vayelech has 30 psukim, the very name of the Parsha Vayelech, and he went. It's a hint to the walking of tshuva. We learned in Shabbos that the Ari HaKadosh taught that the thoughts of Elul are in the Pasuk. I know Sein Bayam Darech, God who puts a path through the waters, it's a time of walking, of getting close to Hashem. So there are 30 days to do tshuva during the month of Elul. That's for tzaddikim. Because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem has three books. The book of the tzaddikim, they get signed for life right away. The book of the Rishayim, they get signed for death right away. And the book of the Benonim, they are given another 10 days. Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur, if they did tshuva by then they are signed to life. So, the 30 days of Elul, that's all that tzaddikim need. In these 30 days, they repent, they come close to Hashem, and by getting close to Hashem, they wipe away their sins. By wiping away their sins, come Rosh Hashanah, they are full tzaddik, and they can now be written right away for good. Beinonim, though, get another 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So if you have Elul plus 10 is a total of 40, that corresponds to the 40 days of Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim is 40 psukim to say that if you're a Beinoni, you have 40 days. Now Parshas Ha'azinu has 52 psukim. If you add another 12 days to the 10 days of getting to Yom Kippur, you add another 12 days, that'll take you to Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres. Because 5 days later is the first day of Sukkot. Hoshana Rabbah is the seventh day of Sukkot. So that's if there are people who didn't get to do tshuva by Yom Kippur. So the Zohar says it's true that Hashem seals the judgment on Yom Kippur, but he only gives the paper with the seal on Hoshana Rabbah. So you still have till Hoshana Rabbah to maybe reverse the judgment. So that's why you have Parshas Ha'azinu as 52 psukim to tell us that for people who aren't even Beinonim, they have 52 days in order to gain atonement. The truth is that this idea that we have all the way till Hoshana Rabbah is not in the Gemara. It's in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar came after. It was only released later. We didn't know of it till it was written earlier, but we only knew about it in the 13th century. And the idea is that the earlier generations, they didn't need so many days to get fixed. But now that we are of a weaker level, Hashem in His kindness doesn't want to let any Jew get lost. So He revealed the holy book of the Zohar to show that for lowly Jews, we have even more than 40 days. We have more than Parshas Nitzavim. We have Parshas Ha'azinu. We have 52 days. Now the students of the Baal Shem Tov, especially Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, say we have even more. They say, really, the judgment, even after it's given to the angels don't go out until the last day of Hanukkah, the eighth day of Hanukkah. And the judgment can still be reversed by tshuva all the way till the last day of Hanukkah. Now, it's not Chas v'shalom, Reb Nachman was saying, you know, don't worry, you've got a lot of time, you can delay. But his point was that we who are so lowly, even the fixing that we start in Elul, it's not going to be enough, so we'll have to do more Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that won't be enough. Even by Hoshana Rabbah, it's not enough, but hopefully by Zos Chanukah, there'll be an aggregate of all these days of return and repentance and getting closer to Hashem. It'll finally be enough to gain atonement. From Rosh Chodesh Elul until Zos Chanukah, it's a total of 122 days. So if you take 30 plus 40 is 70, plus 52 is 122. So if you have Parshas Vayelech, 30 psukim, Nitzavim, 40 psukim, and Ha'azinu, 52 psukim, which we said, Vayelech is the amount of time that the tzaddikim need to do tshuva. Nitzavim is the amount of time middle people need to do tshuva. And Hazinu is the amount of time that even the lowly generations need to do tshuva. But you put it all together, it's 122 days, because that's to say that in our lower generations, the students of the Baal Shem Tov said you have 122 days to get all the way to the last day of Hanukkah.
This is his chiddush,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
So his son-in-law, Rabbi Silver, said, he added that Parshas Kisavo has 122 psukim. Hmm. So Parshas Kisavo itself is saying, you have from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Zos Chanukah to be working, and then you have Nitzavim, which is 40 psukim for the Beinonim, Vayelech, which is 30 psukim for the Tzadikim, and Hazinu for the, you know, what the Zohar teaches you have till Hoshana Rabbah. So if that's the case, Parshas Kisavo is a parsha that shows us how much Hashem loves us. He keeps giving us another chance. He doesn't want even the lowly Jews to be lost. We're lowly Jews. We have a lot of sins and a lot of failures and a lot of crimes. So if we would be judged by the standards of the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, we'd be terrible. Even by the standards of the Beinonim, we're in a really tough spot. Even by the standards of the Zohar, we're in a tough spot. But Hashem keeps finding ways because He loves Jews. And He always wants to help Jews. And that can be why this parsha creates such simcha, such joy, that we have 122 days to work on ourselves, almost a third of the year. Almost a third of the year is to be working on this on repentance and return to deserve a year of blessing. So here's an amazing thing. The pasuk that says that Hashem will not let any Jew get lost is where Hashem said, Levilti yidach mimenu nidach, so that no pushed away soul will be completely lost. It was pushed away, but Hashem's bringing it back. Levilti yidach mimenu nidach equals in gematria v'haya kisavo el haaretz. It will be when you come into the land. V'haya kisavo el haaretz, when you'll come into the land, you'll discover this parsha, Hashem is not going to let any Jew be fully lost. So that's why we read this parsha on Shabbos. And on Motzei Shabbos, right away we begin with Slichos. The Ashkenazim begin with Slichos. The Sfardim, our Sfardi brethren have been, you know, going much higher than us. They've been saying Slichos all month. But the Ashkenazim will start this Shabbos, because once we have this message that Hashem does not let any Jew get lost, He finds a way to bring every single Jew back. That's connected to the theme of Hashem's love. The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. And that's the theme of the Slichos, that Hashem has 13 attributes of mercy and He loves us so powerfully and He keeps bringing us back. So that's perhaps, you know, a hint at the basic theme. Kisavo is saying Hashem loves you. Hashem's going to give you 122 days to keep working to get to Zos Chanukah and merit to have a year of blessing. Maybe the beginning of the Parsha, which says the mitzvah of Bikurim, take the first fruit, it's saying, but don't wait for those 122 days. V'lakachta meireshis, take the first produce, take the early days, take Elul, take these days, and in these days return to Hashem and gain forgiveness in a year of blessing. V'halachta l'amakom, Asher Yivchar, Hashem Elokecha, L'shaken Shmo Sham, these words, Asher Yivchar, Hashem Elokecha, L'shaken Shmo Sham, that God your Lord will choose to place His name there, in Gematria equals Shabbos Parshas Kisavo. That Shabbos Parshas Kisavo is the time to grab these times of forgiveness and to get forgiveness. Bikurim in Gematria equals Kiyimcha Slicha, for you have forgiveness, Hashem. Hashem wants us to take the early days and to return in order to gain forgiveness.
Early bird special.
Early bird special. Mm. Beautiful. Now the truth is, we know that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, there was a dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, when was the world created? It's really another theme. Was the world created in Tishrei? That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Or was the world created in Nisan, the first day of Nisan, the view of Rabbi Yehoshua? And the Gemara says further, if you say the world was created in Tishrei, the Jewish people will be redeemed in Tishrei. Mashiach will come in Tishrei. But if the world was created in Nisan, the Jewish people will be redeemed in Nisan. So apparently you have two different points of the year, and based on your point of view, each one could be viewed as the beginning, as the starting point. You could say that Nisan is the starting point, or you could say that that Tishrei is the starting point. So why do you have two different points of view? So we know there are two main attributes. There's the attribute of din, of justice, of the strict law. And there's the attribute of chesed, of kindness. We know that Beis Shammai, they're usually stricter. They're usually machmir. They usually display the attribute of justice. Beis Hillel is usually more lenient. They display the attribute of kindness, of mercy. So
You have these two points of view, these two aspects of the aspect of justice versus the aspect of mercy.
Rabbi Eliezer was a student of Beis Shammai. So since Rabbi Eliezer was a student of Beis Shammai, so he says that the world begins in Tishrei, the time of justice, the time when the horoscope is the scale, the time when God is judging. And he's saying, as a student of Beis Shammai, that from the power of justice, the Jewish people will be redeemed. Whereas Beis Hillel, they are more the attribute of mercy. And that's where you have Rabbi Yoshua, who says that the world began not in the time of justice, but in the time of mercy, the time of kindness. He says the world began in Nisan, the time of miracles, the time of spring, the time of tremendous acts of kindness. Tishrei is the beginning of the world if we look at a world filled with justice. Who is the personality of justice? Yitzhak Avinu. So Yitzhak Avinu has a very strong connection to Tishrei. The Zohar says that when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's the idea of Avraham and Yaakov surrounding Yitzhak. That the blowing of the shofar is to sweeten the judgments of Yitzhak. The ram that we use, the ram's horn reminds us of the ram of Yitzhak. And we're blowing shofar, we're surrounding the attributes of, we're surrounding Yitzhak with attributes of kindness. The ram that was taken in place of Yitzhak, the Torah uses the words, Vaya'alehu la'ola tachas b'no. It was offered as an ola in lieu of his son. In Gematria, that equals Yerach Tishrei, the month of Tishrei. It also equals in Gematria Eskol HaShofar, the sound of shofar, which is the shofar of Matan Torah. And we merited that shofar also because of the merit of the Akedah. Now in the month of Tishrei, according to one opinion, we will be redeemed. So this phrase, Vaya'alehu la'ola tachas b'no, equals in Gematria the Pasuk, Ki yom nakam milibi, because the day of revenge is in my heart, Ushnas ku'ulai ba, and the year of my redemption is coming. That the redemption is going to come when Hashem carries out his revenge, when he carries out the attribute of justice. What does it mean that redemption will come about through justice? So Rabbi Wolfson suggested that it's based on an amazing comment of the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim, Rabbi Yaakov of Toledo, was the son of the Rush and the author of the book Arba HaTurim, where he organized halacha into four topics, four major volumes. Baal HaTurim points out that the very end of Parshas Chayei Sarah has the pasuk about the death of Yishmael. It says, Al pnei kol echav nafal. He died on the face of all of his brethren. The next pasuk is Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak, and these are the generations of Yitzchak. So why Ve'ele and these? What's the linkage between the generations of Yitzchak and Yishmael dying in front of his brothers? So this is the Baal HaTurim. He says, when Yishmael will fall at the end of time, that'll be the time when Yitzchak will rise. Mashiach, who comes from Yitzchak, will come when Yishmael falls. That's the amazing connection between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Why is Yitzchak connected to the fall of Yishmael? So there's a tradition that there are four great empires. There is the Babylonian Empire, the Persian or Median. There's the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. That's why when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of a statue where the head was gold and the arms were silver and the torso was copper and the legs were iron and was knocked over by a stone, it was a symbol of these four empires. The gold was the Babylonians, the silver was the Persians, the copper was the Greeks, the iron was the Romans, and the stone is a hint to Mashiach, because Mashiach comes from King David. And David HaMelech used a stone to knock down Goliath. So the stone of David will knock down the empires and will outlast all of the empires. Amen. So that's a long tradition. We have the Medrash in Parshas Vayetze that when Yaakov was sleeping and he saw the ladder and angels going up and down, those angels were the angels of these empires. He saw the angel of Babel going up a certain number of rungs corresponding to how many years the Babylonians ruled, and then it was knocked down, and then the Persians going up more rungs, and then they were knocked down, and then the Greeks going up more rungs, and they're knocked down, and finally the Romans going up and up and up, and gets very scared. Yaakov says, is he ever going to come down? And Hashem said, he's going to come down too eventually. Don't worry, he's going to come down. So four empires. It's also the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where he has the dream where he sees different creatures. He sees a bear, he sees a lion, he sees an eagle. These are these different empires. So one second. What about what we just experienced over the last few days? Today, they arrested the guy, Rahani, I don't remember his name.
Ahmed.
So he's the empire of Yishmael. Why is Yishmael not mentioned? Why does our tradition not talk about the empire of Yishmael and all the challenges that the Islamic world will place upon the Jews? And they've put so many challenges. You go through Jewish history, it's true that Jews suffered under Christian rules. Jews didn't have it easy under the Muslims either. You know, look at, you read Yemenite Jewish history, the suffering of what happened there. You know, the famous Yemenite rabbi, Rabbi Kapach, his wife married him. She was 10 years older than him. Why did she marry him? Because Nebuchadnezzar was an orphan. It was a child wedding. He married as a young child because he was an orphan. And the Muslims used to kidnap the Jewish orphans and force them to be raised as Muslims. So to save him, she married him, to save him from being kidnapped. There was a lot of suffering that the Jews had over all the years from the Yishma'elim. And now, especially, we have so much suffering from Yishma'elim. So why is there no empire of Yishmael? Why? We talk about the Romans, we talk about the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Persians. What about the Yishma'elim? It's a big, powerful empire that causes a lot of trouble for the Jewish people and for the rest of the world. Why aren't they in our tradition? Now the Zohar says that the empire of Yishmael is the most difficult, the worst. So why isn't he listed? So there are two answers. One answer is given by the Abarbanel and the Maharal. The Abarbanel and the Maharal say that go back to the Torah. Everything is rooted in the Torah. Torah tells us in Parshas Toldos that Yitzchak wanted to give brachos to Esav. And Rivka got Yaakov to impersonate Esav, and Yaakov got the blessings. When Esav came in, he was very angry that Yaakov got the blessings. And he decided he was going to go kill Yaakov. So Rivka heard, and Rivka told Yaakov to run away. And then she went into Yitzchak. She said, I can't stand the wives that Esav has. Let's send away Yaakov to my family. So Yitzchak says, fine, Yaakov should go away. Right afterwards, the Torah says that Esav went and got married. Who did he marry? Rashi says, if my father doesn't like the Canaanite wives, he's sending my brother Yaakov to go get a member of the family. I'll marry a member of the family. Who did he marry? The daughter of Yishmael, Machlas. He married Machlas, the sister of Nevaios, the daughter of Yishmael. That means that at the end, Esav combines with Yishmael. And when Esav and Yishmael unite, that's the real horrible tragedies. So it is, in fact, an empire. But it's subsumed within the empire of Edom, because they combine, Esav and Yishmael combine. I don't know if you saw, but there was an announcement I saw yesterday by the Pope. He said, how are we going to fight terrorism? By welcoming the Syrians into our living rooms. Every home in Europe should bring in a Muslim family from the Middle East, and by welcoming them into your heart, the terrorism will all end. So this is the foolishness of Esav and Yishmael trying to create a union, which is very, very dangerous for the Jewish people.
if Chas v'Shalom, Esav and Yishmael are working together. And this is part of the end of the exile of Edom. And Zohar says that Yishmael is going to have an ability to rule over the land of Israel. And the reason why, the Zohar says, is because they perform Bris Milah. Yishmael performs Bris Milah, and that gives them a right to the land of Israel, and that will enable them to cause a lot of trouble to the Jewish people. But when their fulfillment is finished, because they only do it Berekanya, they do it in an empty way, the Zohar says, Hashem's going to take the land of Israel and shake it like a sheet, and they're all going to roll off of the land of Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take, he's going to shake out the dust, and Yishmael is going to roll off of the land of Israel. Now we know that in holiness there's always a parallel. So Avram had a parallel who fought against him. That was Nimrod. Yitzchak had a parallel against him, Yishmael. So if the final redemption is the fall of Yishmael, that means the final redemption has to mean that the parallel against Yishmael rises. That Yishmael falls and Yitzchak rises. Now we've been saying that Yitzchak's month, in a certain way, is the month of Tishrei, because Tishrei is a time of judgment, and Yitzchak is the attribute of judgment. So when we get close to Rosh Hashanah, when we're about to have the elevation of Yitzchak, we're going to blow the shofar to remind us of the ram of Yitzchak, it's a time to hope for the fall of Yishmael. Let there be a fall of Yishmael and a rise of Yitzchak, and in that way merit to have redemption. That's why the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that when Mashiach will come, or before he comes, the Jewish people will be in grave danger. God's going to say the Jews have many sins. Who is here who's willing to defend the Jews? So Avram Avinu says, well, if they worshipped idols, I can't say anything. Yaakov Avinu says, if they worshipped idols, I can't say anything. But Yitzchak will say, I'm going to defend the Jews. And Yitzchak will say, well, let's realize, first of all, a person only lives 70 years. The first 20 years of his life, Hashem doesn't punish. So he only has 50 years. He has 25 years and 25 years, 50 years. Of those 50 years, 25 of them probably are spent sleeping in the bathroom, eating. You don't have time to sin. So you only have 25 years of sin. So Yitzchak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's split it up. Half on me, 12 and a half on me, 12 and a half on you, and forgive the Jews. And Hashem says, I'll do it. So why is Yitzchak the one to defend the Jews? Because the redemption comes when Yishmael falls. When Yishmael falls, Yitzchak, who is his opposite, rises. So Yitzchak defends the Jews to bring about the redemption. Now, another element of the month of Tishrei is that we know that the 12 months are divided according to the 12 tribes. So the tribe for the month of Tishrei is the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is from Yosef, and Yosef is very powerful in keeping Bris Milah. Yosef ran away from the wife of Potiphar. Yosef was very holy in keeping the covenant. And because Yosef was so holy in keeping the covenant, that gives him a great strength. When the Jews have the holiness of the covenant, then we overcome Yishmael. Then Yishmael collapses and Yishmael falls. In fact, the name of the Nasi of Ephraim was Elishama ben Amihud. Elishama has the same letters as the word Yishmael. Elishama, my God, listen to me. And maybe to connect to this, that's why on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the reading of the Torah is how Sarah sent away Yishmael. Why was it instituted to read about the sending away of Yishmael in Rosh Hashanah? Lo yirash ben ha'ama azos in b'niyam Yitzchak. This son of the maid will not inherit with my son Yitzchak. It's a prayer to Hashem. Send away Yishmael. Send away the children of Yishmael from the land of Israel, let them have their fall, and allow Zaro Shel Yitzchak, allow the children of Yitzchak to rise. Take away from Yishmael the claim that he is a grandchild of Avram Avinu. No, Avram Avinu has Yitzchak, not Yishmael. And they have nothing to do with Avram Avinu. That's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. The Pasuk says, Yishmael was ben ha'ama, lo yirash
Ben ha'amahazos, the son of this maid, will not inherit with Yitzchak. Why? Because Eved ain't lochayas, a maid, her child is a slave, and the slave doesn't have any filial relationship to Avram Avinu. And so that was the request of Sarah, the actions of Sarah, to separate Yishmael from Yitzchak. Just like in the future, Yishmael will be thrown off of the land of Israel, and the land of Israel will be only filled with Kedusha and with service of Hashem. The pasuk says, "Vayihi Elokim es hanar vayigdal," and Hashem was with Yishmael, and he grew up. In Gematria, that equals Ha'isha v'yiladeha tiyela adoneha. The female non-Jewish maid and her children will belong to her master. In other words, as much as Yishmael grew, he's not Avram's son. He is Ha'isha v'yiladeha tiyela adoneha. He is Ben Ha'ama. He is the child of the non-Jewish maid. He does not have a right to the Jewish family and to the Jewish tradition. And in fact, the pasuk says about Yishmael, Shnei Masar Nesi'im Yolid, Hashem promised he will give birth to 12 princes. But that very same pasuk equals in Gematria, Garesha Amahazos Vespina, expel the maid and her child. Because as many princes as he has, he's still to be expelled. He doesn't have a connection to Avraham Avinu. And that's what we're reading on Rosh Hashanah. We're reading that Yitzchak is the only son of Avraham. Yishmael is to be rejected. And in this way, we are making Hashem king. Because when the Jewish people are able to thrive and to survive, then Hashem is king. Hashem who rules over the Jewish people, and we make him king over us. And when Yishmael falls, that's when Yitzchak will rise. So here's an amazing thing. This pasuk, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafa, he fell before all of his brethren. And then you add to it the phrase of the next pasuk, Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, and these are the generations of Yitzchak, who's the only son of Avram, equals in Gematria, Melech al Kol Haaretz, God is the king over the earth, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. He sanctifies the Jewish people, and he makes Rosh Hashanah a holy day. Rosh Hashanah is a holy day in the fall of Yishmael and in the rise of Yitzchak. And maybe that's also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, again, we read the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak. One of the ideas behind the Akedah is that it's a rejection of Yishmael. How so? Rashi says, Achar advar ma'ele, after these words, after what words? Achar dvarav shel Yishmael, after the words of Yishmael. Yishmael was saying to Yitzchak, I'm better than you. I had a bris milah when I was 13, and even though it was very hard to do, I didn't protest. You only did it when you were 8 days old. So Yitzchak said, you're trying to scare me with one limb, that you were willing to have one limb cut. If Hashem would tell me to give every limb of mine to die for him, I would do it. I wouldn't wait. And then Hashem gave the mitzvah of the Akedah. And Yitzchak showed that he's willing to give every limb of his that he has. But he didn't have to. In the end, we got the shofar of the ram of Rosh Hashanah. So when we blow the ram of Rosh Hashanah, we're saying, listen, we're better than Yishmael. We have the merit of the Akedah, which is all the limbs, much more than just the limb of Bris Milah. And so this pasuk, Vayakod es Yitzchak beno, and he tied Yitzchak his son, equals in Gematria, Yom Teruah Yielachem. It should be a day of blowing the shofar. It's the day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's perhaps all part of this amazing time as we prepare in Parshas Kisavo for Rosh Hashanah. It's a time when we are hoping to hear the shofar, that the shofar that we hear should be the beginning of the shofar of of Mashiach. Right. The shofar of Mashiach is V'haya b'yom ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. It'll be on that day Hashem will blow a great shofar. Uvoa ovdim b'eretz Ashur v'nidachim b'eretz Mitzrayim, and all those who are lost or scattered will come back. In fact, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz, when Hashem will be the king over all. V'haya b'yom ahu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So this is an idea that Rav Wolfson said in Tavshin Nun Hei, that's 1995, that Parshas Kisavo is a parsha that gives us a lot of joy, It's the parsha that we realize Hashem is giving us another chance and further chances. We should still take advantage of Bikurim, take advantage of the earlier times. And as we get close to Rosh Hashanah, we get to a day of Aleph Tishrei, the beginning of Tishrei. It can be more than Rosh Hashanah. It can be the beginning of Geula. And we hope and pray it should be the beginning of Geula. It should be the time of the downfall of Yishmael and the rise of Yitzchak. So this is one answer, that Yishmael is part of Esav. There's another answer that's given traditionally. There are many answers, but this is another one. Why Yishmael is not counted as one of the four empires. And I heard this from Shai's Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Kalman Epstein. About 2 years ago, there was a terrible period in France where a Rav was walking with his children to school in Toulouse, and horrible Russia killed him and the children, and then he killed another child in the school, and then he went into hiding, and the police finally found him, and he blew up bombs, and he killed policemen. It was a terrible, terrible thing. So it happened, and shortly thereafter, there was something in the yeshiva. And when we were there in the yeshiva, Rabbi Epstein related a story that this whole, you know, crisis of all these terrible terrorist attacks, you know, soft targets, attacking airliners and airports and discos and schools and children and hospitals. This all happened, it first started really in 1970. Shortly after the Six-Day War, you had the series of hijackings, and it really started then. The Palestinians started in 1970, and then Munich, 72 Olympics, in the early 70s. He said he remembered when it happened that his father, Zelig Epstein, Zichrono Livracha, was sitting with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And I think Reb Zelig said, you know, what's going to be? What's going to be? You know, all these terrible crises, it's insane, these attacks. It's so, you know, abnormal. So Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky said that this was all predicted in Parshas Ha'azinu. Parshas Ha'azinu predicts all the events of the future. And it relates everything that's going to happen. For example, Kikarov Yom Edom, the day of their disaster is coming close. V'chash Asidos Lamo, Ki Adin Hashem Amo, V'alav Adav Yisnecham, Hashem's going to console his people. We have in Parshas Ha'azinu the following pasuk. Kidor tapuchos hema banim lo emun bam. They are a generation of constantly turning this way and that way, children that you can't trust. Haim, next pasuk. Haim kinuni velo el, ki asuni behavlehem. They angered me without a God. They enraged me with their nonsenses. In other words, the Jewish people have been disloyal, and God is now jealous because it's sort of like a spouse who's not loyal to her husband. But it's not that they're disloyal by going and becoming Christians. It's not that they're disloyal by having some other God, I don't know, being Shintos. Kinuni v'lo'el, they angered me without any God. Ki asuni, they enraged me b'havlehem, that they're interested in nonsense, just wasting time. Empty things. Empty things they're excited about. But me, serving me, they're not into. Says God, measure for measure. V'ani akni'em below am. And I will anger them with a group that is not a nation. B'goy navo, with an abominable people, ach isem, I will be upset without them. So Rashi says, kin'uni hiv'iru chamasi. They angered my God. They angered my rage. below El Bedavar Sheinu Eloha, in a matter that is not godly. I will upset them below Buuma Shein Lashem, with a nation that doesn't even have a name. Heim kinuni below El Kiasuni Bavim Vani Akni Aim below I will anger them with those who aren't even a people. Goy Naval, with an abominable folk, Ach Isem, I will enrage them. Hashem is saying something very, very poignant. You know, if there's in a certain sense, if we're not loyal to Hashem, but we're into some other religion, so at least we're into something idealistic. We're making a mistake, but there's some desire for something beyond the self. But the Jewish people, unfortunately, angered Hashem by making nonsense religion. All sorts of havalim, all sorts of empty things, what people are most interested in. But what really matters, that we anger Hashem about those things, because we're not loyal to those things. So Hashem says, I'll punish them in an abnormal way. I'll punish them with people that are not even a nation. A nation normally has certain rules of how it acts. A nation has a certain ethnic identity, but they won't be punished by a nation. They'll be punished by groups. This is the terrorists. They don't have a nation. They're not a nation. You had a Somali guy, and then you have an Afghani guy, and you have a Turkish guy, and all these different ethnicities. There's no one nation here. But even though there's no nation, they're causing the problems. So because they're not a united nation, Yishmael perhaps is not a nation, it's just causing tsaros and completely, in ways that are completely beyond the rules of nations, that's why they're not listed amongst the four empires. And unfortunately, we suffer from the Yishmaelim as a generation because we are not loyal to Hashem. If we would be loyal to Hashem, and the whole Jewish people would be more loyal to Hashem, and we would merit to have greater observance, then we would merit the other lessons, that Hashem would take the land of Israel, Bezrat Hashem, hopefully soon, Amen. Shake the Yishmaelim off,
Amen.
And V'alu Moshiim B'Hartzion Lishbot Esar Esav, V'haysal Hashem HaMelucha, and Hashem is the single sovereign ruler over the land of Israel and over the whole world, and hopefully this Rosh Hashanah, you should merit to hear that shofar of Geula.
Amen.
And here be
amazing.
Thank you.